Good morning. I am Pastor Steve Wadley, and I'm speaking to you from the sanctuary of our church, Christian Family Fellowship of Santa Rosa, California. This is the third video message to our church due to the shelter-in-place order, which was given in an attempt to slow the spread of COVID-19. As most of you are aware, a few days ago, it was announced that the shelter-in-place would be extended through May 3rd. That means that we will not be able to gather together in this sanctuary for four more Sundays. I miss seeing my church family gathered together for worship on the Lord's Day. I miss singing together, praying together, hearing the Word of God together. They say that absence makes the heart grow fonder. If that is true, we will have a grand celebration when we are able to assemble together again in this place. In the meantime, I want to continue the sermon series, Knowing Peace in Troubled Times. Today, we will focus on the gift of peace given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a great deal of fear in our world today. Fear of illness, fear of death, fear of financial loss, and fear of the unknown. How are we to survive in such an atmosphere of fear? The simple answer to that question is also the main idea of this sermon, and it is this: Jesus gives us divine peace. To all who trust in Him for salvation and avail themselves of the means for peace that He provides. In Scripture, the word peace means much more than simply the absence of conflict. In the Old Testament, the word for peace, shalom in the Hebrew, it occurs over 250 times. Although it can refer to the absence of conflict, it can also refer to much more than that. The Jewish people understood shalom as referring to personal peace, wholeness, contentment, health, prosperity, harmony, and fulfillment. It was considered to be the greatest blessing that one could bestow upon another. True biblical peace, shalom, does not depend upon circumstances, but instead allows us to live above and beyond our circumstances, as we will see. Our text for today is John 14, verses 27 through 29. So if you'd like to open your Bibles there, I'll be reading those verses, John 14, 27 through 29. Jesus is speaking here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. The promise of divine peace was given by Jesus to his disciples that evening, which was the evening before his arrest and crucifixion. It is a part of what we call the upper room discourse. That evening, Jesus and his closest disciples had come together in an upper room in Jerusalem to celebrate together the Passover Seder, as was their custom. But that night would be different from every other. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him in the next few hours, as he would fulfill the Father's divine plan to provide for the salvation of sinners through his sufferings, death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus also knew what a devastating effect all of that would have upon these men who loved him and had given up everything to follow him. So he took the time after supper to prepare them for what was coming. He told them that he was going to the Father to prepare a place for them, and that one day he would return to take them there to be with him. He told them that he would be sending the Holy Spirit to them, to indwell them, to be with them, and to empower them to carry on the work of proclaiming the gospel. Then, in our text, he promises to give them peace, not the peace of the world, but a divine, supernatural peace, a peace that surpasses all human reasoning and understanding. Today, we will look at three aspects of this divine peace: its source, its contrast, and its result. First, the source of divine peace. What is the source of divine peace? Jesus is the source of divine peace. And there are two components of this divine peace. First, peace with God, and then the peace of God. First, peace with God. This is by far the greatest need of mankind. For without it, we are enemies of God due to our sin, and we are separated from God. God himself tells us that all have sinned against him. All of us fail to glorify God at all times, which is what he desires and what he deserves. Our sin is rebellion against God's divine authority. And the penalty for that rebellion is separation from God and enmity between us and between us and God. There is nothing that we as sinners can do to bring peace between us and God. That is why God sent his only begotten Son to this earth, to provide a way for us to finally have peace with God. His Son became a man, a human being, and lived among sinful people, yet he was without sin. He obeyed his heavenly Father in all respects, always doing the Father's will and bringing glory to God. Jesus lived the life that we cannot live, a life of perfect righteousness. Then he laid down his life as a substitutionary sacrifice. He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of all who trust in him, just as was prefigured in the sacrifice of the Passover lambs. Jesus, on that cross, took our sins upon himself and paid the divine penalty for our sin. The very wrath of God was poured out upon him so that all who trust in him for our salvation would be washed clean of all sin, made white as snow by his shed blood. God the Father was just in punishing his Son for our sin, and God the Son was our justifier by paying that penalty in our place. We were justified by him, and now by faith we have peace, peace with God. This is exactly what God's word tells us in Romans 5:1. Listen to this. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was telling his disciples in advance that he would make peace with God for them and for all who believe in him by faith. Look at verse 27 with me again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not only do we have the peace with God through Jesus, but he also gives to us the peace of God. That same peace that he himself had known as a human being living in a fallen world. Jesus knew how to have peace in a troubled world. Let's remember that he had lived for over 30 years in such a world, and yet he had always had peace. How is this possible? His peace came from an absolute trust in God. He knew that God was in control of everything and that God would work all things together for his good and for God's glory. This is the confidence that Jesus showed throughout his life on this earth, throughout his ministry, a peace that passes all human understanding. If you remember, Mark, in his gospel, in Mark chapter 4, he writes about a time when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee in a small boat, and a great storm came up. The waves were so high that they were spilling over into the boat. The boat was taking on water. The disciples were afraid for their lives. Where was Jesus? He was sleeping on a cushion in the boat. The disciples woke him up because they thought they were going to perish. Jesus simply calmed the storm, told the disciples they needed to have more faith, and probably went right back to sleep. He had peace because he knew his Father was in control. He had peace because he knew that he did not have to fear anything that could happen to him. So how can we have peace in the midst of the storms in our life? Jesus gives us this peace through the means of grace given to us. The Word of God instructs us in these means of grace and instructs us that when we avail ourselves of those means of grace, it will result in peace in our life. Let me just remind you of some of these means of grace. The first is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Just as Jesus had promised his disciples that very evening that he would go to the Father and then he would send the Holy Spirit to them. Every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him for our salvation, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Well, the result of that is that then the Spirit of God produces in us what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. And if you remember the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. And so peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The second means of grace that God has given to us is the Word of God, the very revelation of himself given to us. The psalmist writes in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 119, verse 165, we read these words, "Great peace have those who love your word. Nothing can make them stumble. When we love the Word of God, when we are daily spending time in the Word of God, it results in a peace inside of us, a peace in our very soul, because it confirms to us that God is in control. From beginning to end, we see that God has a plan for everything that has ever happened, not only to us, but in the history of mankind. God is in control. And that is so reassuring, especially in times like these when things seem to be out of control. A third means of grace that God has given to us that results in peace is the gift of prayer. Prayer is essential to divine peace. In prayer, we acknowledge our absolute dependence upon God, and we remind ourselves that He hears our cries, and He will deliver us because He is God. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. And when we take our concerns to Him in prayer, the result is peace. Listen to these familiar words written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew a thing or two about suffering, and yet he found how to have peace in the midst of suffering. And this is what he tells us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the result? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Understand this, the peace of God passes all understanding. It is beyond human reasoning. How can we have peace in the midst of trouble? It is because we recognize who is in control, who holds us in His hands. God is clearly telling us here through the Apostle Paul that we can experience God's divine peace in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of troubled times, if we will take our needs to Him in prayer with thanksgiving and trust in Him. In fact, let me remind you that Paul pens these words when he is under arrest, chained to a soldier in Rome, awaiting his trial. Do not be anxious or fearful about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A fourth means of grace that God has given to us to allow us to have peace in this life is the means of meditating upon God. This is not meditation like the world teaches. This is meditation that is focused upon God as He has revealed Himself through His Word. God has revealed Himself to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. And as we meditate upon that revelation of God to us, as our mind is stayed upon Him, it will bring us peace. This is exactly what the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 26:3. Listen to these words. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isaiah here is speaking about God. As we meditate upon God, as we keep our eyes stayed on Him, as we trust in Him, Isaiah tells us, He will keep us in perfect peace. Set your mind on God, not on the things of this world. Does that sound familiar? Well, it's drawn from Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Let me read those to you. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit of God set their minds on the things of God. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Our greatest fears come and rise when we take our eyes off of God and we look at the things in this world. When we put our eyes on God, when we recognize Him as being sovereign and holy and loving and all-powerful and all-knowing, then it calms our fears. When we set our mind on the Spirit, it results in life, spiritual life and peace, supernatural divine peace. And so we need to take our mind, our eyes off the things of the world. Don't make them our focus. Instead, make our focus God Himself. So just to remind us, divine peace comes to us through first trusting in Christ as our Lord and Savior, then through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the practice of praying to God, and meditating upon God, keeping our focus on Him. Jesus then gives us a contrast to divine peace. He contrasts divine peace with the peace that instead comes from the things of this world. This is the contrast to divine peace. Look at verse 27 with me again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The peace that the world offers to us is in fact simply an illusion. It is a peace based on temporary circumstances that will not hold up during troubled times. Just think of our current situation. Just think of what happened in the grocery stores, in the supermarkets, in the Costcos, right after this pandemic began to affect us. How people went out and were hoarding and buying up supplies, right? That wasn't because they had peace with their circumstances. It was because they saw that their circumstances were out of their control. And so they went into panic mode. We can have peace in troubled times if it's the peace that comes from God and not from our confidence in the things of this world. One of my favorite pastors is Pastor John MacArthur, and he had a quote in his commentary regarding this. I'd like to read that to you. John MacArthur writes, "In the truest sense, no real peace is to be found in this world apart from in Christ. Godless people in a godless world are by nature enemies of God and live in a state of resulting turmoil. The world can only offer an experience of momentary, fleeting tranquility through self-indulgence, materialism, entertainment, romance, substance abuse, worldly pleasures, or false religion. But the world's pseudo-peace is in reality the bliss of ignorance. If unbelievers understood the wrath of God that is due for their sins, and the agonizing eternal torment awaiting them in hell, they would never have a moment of peace in this world. Close quote. The reality is, this world cannot offer us peace with God. Only Jesus can do that. This world cannot offer us the divine peace of God to rule over our hearts and minds. Only Jesus can do that. Any peace found in the things of this world is temporary, fleeting. We need the peace that comes to us from knowing and loving God. And we do that through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, finally, I want us to look at the result of divine peace according to Jesus. Look back at verse 27 with me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. After promising to give his divine peace to his disciples, he then instructs them to live accordingly. As with all of God's promises, we are responsible to live according to that promise. God knows, listen to me, God knows every trial that we have ever gone through, all that we are now enduring, and all that we shall ever face. And he says to us, let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is absolutely possible for every true believer in Christ. When we know God, when we know God through Christ, we are able to trust in his love for us, in his goodness towards us, his faithfulness, and his perfect provisions for us. We are able, with the Apostle Paul, to be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, because we know that our loving Heavenly Father is in control of those circumstances and will use them for our spiritual good and for his divine glory. To live in anguish over past mistakes, in anxiety concerning present trials, or in apprehension regarding the future, is to fail to take God at his word. God has forgiven us our past mistakes in Jesus Christ. God is in control of our present circumstances, and he has guaranteed the future for all who put their trust in him, leaving nothing, absolutely nothing, that should disrupt our peace. The peace of God that passes all human understanding. It can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let us live accordingly. Let us continue to give thanks to God for the divine peace that we have in Christ. Let us continue to trust God, to trust that God can and will take care of us, his beloved children. Let us live our lives in such a manner before others in this world that they will see a difference in us, and that may lead to an opportunity for us to be able to share Christ as the hope that is within us, as the source of our peace and our thanksgiving. I want to leave you with one more admonition from the Word of God, and it's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where we read these words. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. And be thankful. And be thankful. Again, because we know who holds our lives in his hands, because we know who controls the universe, we can have peace no matter what our circumstances, and we can even give thanks to God no matter what those circumstances. I pray that you will come to know this peace, the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity for us to hear from you today. We thank you, Father God, for your word, which reveals to us who you are. It reveals to us that you are our creator. You are the one who sustains us. In you, we live and move and have our very being. And you are sovereign over all the affairs of man, over the entire universe. You are in control. And Father God, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that he came to pay the penalty for our sin, the sin of every man and woman, boy and girl, who believes in him and trusts in him. Father, we thank you that he made peace between us and you, so that we can now call you Father, so that we can experience the forgiveness of our sins, and we can have access to you. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you in prayer, that we can bring our needs, we can bring our cares to you, and we know that you hear and answer. And thank you, Father God, for the peace that you have given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will help us now to live our lives in a manner that we are living out this peace that we have been given, this confidence that we are your children and that you will take care of us. And Lord, give us opportunities to share the hope that is within us, the hope of Jesus Christ, with others. And Father God, we do look forward to the day that this shelter in place is lifted and we can gather together again and rejoice together in your goodness towards us. But in the meantime, Father God, help us to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer, and to keep our eyes fixed upon you. And we know, Father God, that you will give your people the peace that we need to live in these troubled times. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.